Sebastian, hello everyone. My name is Daddy Abel Meyer Hawkins. I want to serve you as a priest starting very soon. Please sign your seats for Sabbath service.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. My name is Daughter Agisha Abel Lily Hawkins, and I would like to serve you forever as a priest is starting very soon. It is an honor and a privilege to present to a privilege to introduce to you the sons and daughters of Israel Abel now entering the sanctuary. I'll now turn it over to the great priest of the house of Yahweh. Have a great Sabbath!
I am introducing the first speaker this morning. The theme for our speakers is, "By our thoughts we are judged. Yahweh is pleased with most but not all." He wants everyone to be in unity. If we are not in unity, we are the ones who suffer. And now I'd like to turn it over to the first speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please be seated. In Yochanan 7:37, it says, "On the last day, the last great day of the Feast of Tabernacles, Yahshua stood and cried, 'If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink.'" Now, is this the water that he was talking about? Looks pretty clean. Or is this the water that he was talking about? Now, this would satisfy my thirst. In Yochanan 7:38, he says, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this reminds me of a scripture in Proverbs 4:23. Proverbs 4:23. "Guard your mind with all diligence, for out of it flows the springs of life." In the sixth book of Israel, chapter 5, verse 8, pastor is reading from Isaiah 44, verse 4. It says, "They," speaking about us, the house of Yahweh, "will spring up among the grass as willows by the water courses." The water courses are speaking about the teachings that are coming forth from the house of Yahweh. We must fill our wells with the water coming forth from the water courses. So how do we keep our wells from running dry? We get our knowledge. Our well is referring to our storehouse of knowledge. We get this knowledge at the house of Yahweh by going to Sabbath services, going to classes, studying, being involved in Yahweh's work, and lamplighting with our families. In Pastor's recent sermons, he's told us that it is great to have knowledge, but we must have wisdom to go with the knowledge. Wisdom comes from keeping Yahweh's laws and applying them in every aspect of our lives. When we guard our minds from these influences of the world and drink of the living waters of life at the house of Yahweh, then we will have the true wisdom to teach others. We will have our own living waters to give to all who are thirsty. And with this, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. Let the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of us who are here today, those who are joining us over all forms of media, and those of us who hunger and thirst for Yahweh's righteousness. Today we have two themes for you for our women's presentation, and we want to welcome as well our sisters of New, women of New, for a wonderful program today. So we have two themes. I'm going to read you the first one, the long one first, and then I'll summarize it for you. The theme says, "By our thoughts we are judged. Yahweh is pleased with most but not all. He wants everyone to be in unity. If you are not in unity, you are the one who suffers." When we fall, do we just stay underground? What do we do? Done. So let's move on. The summary of this is guard your thoughts, words, and actions. So that's what we have. Guard your thoughts, words, and actions. So that's what we're going to speak about today. Now, I want to talk to our children a little bit. Children, for the past couple of Sabbaths, you have been hearing us use some very big words like electromagnetic something something. You've been hearing us using words like deoxygenated blood, AC current and DC current. So I say, you know what? Our children, not all children are familiarized with those fancy words. So I called the pastor. I said, the pastor, can I ask you two quick questions? He said that was number one. I said, okay, number two. All those fancy words we are using, this is all Yahweh's creation. Is that correct? Yahweh's creation, but scientists have put them into fancy words. He said, yes, of course, yes. So children, all our children are also listening on the media, whenever you hear us using a fancy scientific word, I want you to remember one thing. Let me show you. Don't worry yourself with the fancy scientific words. When you hear it and it makes you think of Yahweh and you hear we are using it for Yahweh, do this, remember this. All you need to think about is Psalm 8:3. Psalm 8:3. What does Psalm 8:3 say? When we consider your heavens, the work your fingers frame, the works of the moon and the stars, which were by you, Yahweh, ordained. That's all to think about. Because all the fancy words the science have given them and all the gravity and so, don't fret yourself. Just think of Psalm 8:3. Do you understand, children? In that way, we know where the glory goes and the honor goes to Great Father Yahweh. Do you understand? Psalm 8:3. And now we turn it over to our first great speaker. Praise Yahweh.
Shalom. Please be seated. If you had to pick to have everything you would say for one day written on a screen and displayed for everyone to see for the whole day, or you could pick to walk around with a thought bubble over your head and everything you think would be displayed up here for all of the people you interact with to read. Okay, so I'm going to say those two again. You can either pick to walk around and have everything that you say posted on a screen for everybody to read for the whole day, or you could walk around with a thought bubble over your head and everything that you think the people you interact with throughout the day can read your thoughts. Which one would you pick? Why would you pick whatever one that you just picked out of those two? I want you to think about it. Why would you pick that one? So I went around and I did a survey and I asked people this question. I'm going to share with you what I found, okay? So 80% of people would prefer for the words they speak to be displayed on a screen, while only 20% would want to walk around with a thought bubble over their head and everyone to see the thoughts that they think for the day, okay? So my next question was why? Why did 80% of people, why were they okay with their words being publicized for everyone to see? Well, the fact is we choose to control our words more than our thoughts. We understand the power of words. And we know that the words that we speak, they either build or they destroy. We know that they affect the way that we interact with people. Our words are the ones, that's the, when we speak to people in a certain way, they kind of categorize us by that. So if you're known for speaking respectfully, people want to interact with you. If you're known for being disrespectful, people want to avoid you. We've all had that one interaction where someone said something that they shouldn't have said, or they spoke in a tone of voice that was considered disrespectful, and we know how that left us feeling. Hurt, sad, disappointed, discouraged. But then at the same time, we know that we can use our words to build up courage and uplift the people around us. We understand the power of words. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says that death or life, it's in the power of the tongue. Yes, our tongue, the words that we choose to speak, they are very powerful. And in Jacob chapter 3, verse 2, it says, if any man does not offend in words, the same is a perfect man and is also able to bridle the whole body. I think it's really great that 80% of us are comfortable with our words being publicized. This means that we are getting to the point to where we use our words to encourage and uplift others. But what if a thought could do the same thing? What if with one thought you had the power to destroy or heal? What if with a thought you had the power to bless or curse? We understand that our thoughts are powerful, and these are things that we cannot hide from Yahweh. And he wants us to learn to control them. He calls it testing our mind. Our thoughts are powerful. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 3 says, like a refining pot of silver and a furnace for gold, so Yahweh tests the minds of men. Yahweh allows us to be tested to see how we are going to respond. We consider silver and gold to be valuable, but how much value does your mind have? What about the thoughts that you think? In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10, it says, I, Yahweh, search the heart. I test the mind to give every man or woman according to his or her ways, according to the fruits of his or her doings. Our hearts, our minds, our thoughts, all of these things are before Yahweh. They're not hidden from him. We are being judged for our thoughts. If we can control our words, then we could definitely learn to control our thoughts. But this is definitely going to be the ultimate test of self-control. So are you up for a challenge? Psalm chapter 26, verse 2 tells us, we have trusted in you, Yahweh. Examine us and prove us. O Yahweh, try our minds and our hearts. Let's read that again. We have trusted in you, Yahweh. Examine us and prove us now. O Yahweh, try our minds and our hearts. So let's look at a few scriptures with people in the scriptures who they were up for the challenge. They were examined, they were tested, they were tried, and they were proven and got a great report. The book of Yahweh, it's full of examples for us to read of these people. They were not perfect, but they were striving for perfection. And that is what we are doing here in these last days. Now, you can read the stories, and you can see that a lot of these people had a great control of their thoughts because you can look at what their actions were. Let's look at an example at Acts chapter 7. This speaks of Stephen, and when he was being stoned to death, the scripture shows that he had no hatred in his heart or in his mind. Remember what he said? He said, Yahweh, don't hold them responsible for this. If he was able to speak these words, then it had to start with his thought. Now, to bring every thought under control and in line with Yahweh is going to be a challenge, but Yahweh helps those who he sees striving for righteousness. Remember Abraham, Yahweh called him a friend. And we see that in Jacob chapter 2, verse 23. Don't you want to be called a friend of Yahweh? Well, if we do, we must do what 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 tells us, to bring under control every thought into the obedience as Messiah. Bring every thought under control. So if a thought comes to you that is unrighteous or is not lawful, quickly replace it with one that is and repent. Say, Yahweh, I am so sorry for thinking this. Please forgive me. I will keep striving to do better. We read in Eob chapter 1 where Yahweh speaks of how Eob, this man was blameless, upright. He reverenced Yahweh and he shunned evil. These people were not perfect, but they were striving for perfection. They were working hard to bring every thought and action in control and under the laws of Yahweh. So can you be a friend of Yahweh without having control of your thoughts? Can you be a friend of Yahweh without being examined and tested? By our thoughts, we are getting judged. Our thoughts are powerful. So remember that survey at the beginning where 80% of the people said their words, they would be okay with them being publicized on a screen? Well, what about the other 20%? Now, this was an interesting one for me because I'm categorizing that 80% of people who would be okay with my words, but my thoughts, I'm still working on it. So I went to these people that said that they would be okay with their thoughts publicized. for everyone they interact with to see it in a thought bubble over their head. And I said, why would you want your thoughts publicized? I already know that all of them are not positive and righteous. Why would you want someone to see that? Their answer was that they know for a fact that they do not think righteous thoughts all the time. Their thoughts are not positive and in line with the law of Yahweh all the time. But they have been striving and working hard to replace the negative with the positive. They said that you would see them striving for perfection. You would see them falling short. You would see them making mistakes. But one thing that you will see is that they keep guiding their thoughts back to Yahweh and back to his laws. They said that Yahweh looks at our efforts. He looks at how much effort do we put in to bringing our thoughts and our words in line with him. This is what Yahweh wants for all of us. He wants us to be determined to take on his character. He wants us to be determined to keep striving for perfection and never to quit. So let's work on bringing that 20% of the people who want their thoughts to be displayed. Let's work on bringing that up. Let's work on wanting our thoughts to be displayed for people to see, because we are thinking things that are righteous. We are thinking things that are in line with the law. So let's continue to work on this as we are, of course, all prepping for feast. And I want to thank the greatest teacher of the world, the great Kohen Yisro Abel Hawkins, for giving me the opportunity to speak before you all today. If you'll stand, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom. Please be seated. The peace of God be with each and every one of you. So the first and greatest commandment tells us that we must love Yahweh with all our heart, soul, and might. That is, we must love Yahweh with our total being and with every ounce of energy that we have. How do we even begin to do this? It all starts with our thoughts. The words we say to ourselves. The pictures we see in our mind's eye. The movies we play in our minds over and over. Our thoughts, which are a never-ending stream of words, ideas, and pictures, they feed our heart and emotions. These, in turn, drive all our actions and the words that we speak. Let's see what Yahshua had to say about the words we speak, and here he's speaking to the Pharisees in Matthew 12, on page 739, Matthew 12 and verse 34. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak righteous things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth truly speaks. A righteous man from the righteous treasure of the heart brings forth righteous things, but an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. And I say to you that every word against the work that men will speak, they will give an accounting for it on the day of sentencing. For by your words you will be justified, or by your words you will be condemned. Notice Yahshua Messiah mentioned in verse 35 that we either have a righteous treasure of a heart or we have an evil treasure of the heart. Notice what proceeds out of the evil treasure of our heart in Matthew 15 on page 743. Matthew 15 and verse 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemes, the breaking of Yahweh's laws. These are the things which defile a man. Now, if we truly love Yahweh with all our heart, soul, and might, then we will be focusing all our thoughts on righteousness. In Philippians 4, on page 923, Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of righteous report, if there is any virtue, if there is any praise, think on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, do these, and the peace of Yahweh will be with you. We are told to purge out all thoughts that are contrary to Yahweh's laws in any way. In 1 Corinthians 5 on page 890 and verse 6. Your arrogant pride is not righteous. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole batch of dough? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you might be a new batch, since you are unleavened, for truly Yahshua our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. We don't just do that at Passover. This is a 24-hour day, 7-day a week, 365-day a year job. In Colossians 3, on page 926, Colossians 3 and verse 2. Set your understanding and will on these things from on high, not of things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with the Messiah in Yahweh. Then Messiah, our life, will appear. Then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death the evil passions lurking in your members, which are on earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passions, unholy desires, and all greed and covetousness, which are idolatry. It is on account of these things that the wrath of Yahweh is coming, or the judgment of Yahweh is coming upon the children of disobedience, among which you once walked when you lived in them. But now you must put away all these from your mouth: anger, rage, malice, blasphemy, and filthy language. We must put any worldly thought out of our mind immediately if we truly love Yahweh. Satan's world bombards us daily with thoughts and ideas designed to turn us away from Yahweh, and we must fight against it constantly. On page 498 in Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Guard your mind with all diligence, for out of it flows the springs of life. Put away from you a foreign mouth, false and deceitful speech, and put perverse lips, dishonesty, far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, keep your gaze right in front of you. Watch where you're going, step only on established paths. Do not turn to the right or to the left, walk away from evil. And in 2 Corinthians, on page 906, 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3. For though we walk, live in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in Yahweh for pulling down strongholds, demolishing arguments, destroying every high thing that exalts itself against the one who is Yahweh, bringing under control every thought into the obedience as the Messiah. Sisters, Yahweh in these last days has provided us with the best weapons to guard our thoughts. The books of Israel were inspired by Yahweh for us, that we can use to guide our every thought and keep them on Yahweh and his laws always. Just as Yahshua Messiah did when he was on earth, enabling him to resist all sin and to qualify to be our high priest. And now he inspires and guides our pastor to do the same thing. So let's love Yahweh with all our every thought, word, and action, so we can be in his complete image and likeness and enter his kingdom soon. And with that, I'll turn over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please be seated. I have a question for you, each and every one of you. If your daily thoughts were written in a book and read in front of you and hundreds and thousands, even millions of people, like we're sitting here today, I'm speaking to you, the thousands of people are watching online, how would you feel if your thoughts were read in front of all of those people? Would you be ashamed, or would you be confident? Would your thoughts tear those people down? Would they wound them? Or would they teach them? Would your thoughts teach them, or would they heal them? Whether we realize it or not, our thoughts affect every one of us, everyone around us. We might not notice it, but Yahweh knows our thoughts. Yahweh knows them. Psalm 139, verse 1 through 2 says, O Yahweh, you have examined us thoroughly, and you know us. You know when we sit down and when we rise up. You comprehend our every thought. Yahweh knows if our thoughts are righteous or if they are evil. And as the great head judge before us spoke, she said, that the theme today is that Yahweh's pleased with some of our thoughts, but not all of them. So we still have to work on getting the sin out and getting the sin out of our thoughts. Now, sometimes when we're working together, we have little struggles between us and things, but we can't allow those things to affect the way we think about each other because we are all being made in Yahweh's image. And just like we have those struggles, so did the disciples at times. In Yochanan Mark, chapter 9, verse 33 through 35, Yeshua asked his disciples, I'm paraphrasing, Yeshua asked his disciples what they had been arguing about. And it was about who was the greatest. Yeshua said to them, if any man wants to be first, he should be the last of all and the servant of all. So as we're working with each other and working through these struggles that we go through on a day-to-day basis, let's all strive to be servants to one another. Can you really be mad at someone you're serving? Can you be mad? Can you have bad thoughts about a person if you're coming up to them? How can I help you? With a genuine heart. Our thoughts shouldn't be about being the greatest or being the best or being the smartest or being the fastest. Our thoughts, as Philippians 2 verse 4 through 7 says, should be about not only our own interests but also the interests of others. And verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Yeshua Messiah. And we saw that from the story before. Who, being in the form of Yahweh, Yeshua Messiah was in the form of Yahweh. Hebrews 1:3 says he was the reflection of the perfection of Yahweh. Yeshua did not think it was something to be seized upon to be equal with Yahweh. So we shouldn't think of it to be something to seek after, to be equal with each other. We should seek to be lower than each other. Being servants to one another. Because Yeshua himself, he abased himself and he took the form of a servant. And that word form, it's Greek word 3444, and it means outward appearance. So he wasn't going around trying to show that he was the best. He wasn't trying to prove himself to be better than anyone. He, what was in his mind, showed outwardly. Going back to the disciples now, in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, I won't read the whole thing, but it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were in one accord. They were united in mind. So one wasn't thinking less of another. They were united in mind with Yahweh's laws. And the apostles received those gifts of the Spirit Holy. And we too also have to get to that point where we're overcoming, just like they did, overcoming the sinful thoughts that we might have. And how do you know if somebody has the Spirit Holy? Well, look, you'll know them by their fruits, as Yeshua said. What are the fruits of the Spirit? They're love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience with each other. Patience knowing that we're all here working to overcome. We're all here not for ourselves, but we're here working to be servants to one another. Yes, we fall short at times, but our main goal is to make it into the kingdom of Yahweh together as a family. Another one is kindness. Kindness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Righteousness, the faith, meekness, humility, temperance, self-control. All of these things are according to Yahweh's laws, and that's how you know someone is practicing them. And I just want to say that anytime a part of the human body, the physical human body we have right now, anytime a part of it dies, it will spread that death to the rest of the body. Usually the doctors will amputate that part of the body so that the person's life can be saved. That's how serious it is. And any part of the body that is cut off from the body, it dies. It can't live on its own. In the same way, us as a body of Messiah, we can't live without each other. So if we cut ourselves off from the body, it is us that dies, not the body. So let's work to get the sin out of our thoughts, of our words, and our actions, not for ourselves alone, but for the entire world, the entire universe that's watching and waiting on us right now. And going back to the beginning, if your words, your thoughts, your actions were written in a book and read before thousands of people in your presence, how would you feel? Psalm 19:14 says, "Let the words of our mouths and meditation of our hearts be ones acceptable in your sight, O Yahweh." In 1 Diaconon 3, verse 21, it says, "Beloved, if our heart," and yes, it says our heart, because if we're in unity and we're as one body, we have one heart. "If our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before Yahweh." And with that, I would like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please be seated. So I know we're all very excited that we're in this stage in Yahweh's house where we're being granted to be arrayed in the fine linen, right? Praise Yahweh. And that's very exciting to be able to see everyone come into unity and be a part of it. And this is what this is all about, getting our thoughts straightened out to where Yahweh can be pleased with all of us. Remember in the past, like for example in time of Moshe, the scripture spoke about the children of Israel and said he was pleased with some but not all. And that's what I want to start off with here today, that Yahweh is pleased with his house. Remember, there's many times throughout the history of this last day's work where pastors told us Yahweh's pleased with his house. For example, when we saw the donkey. Pastor saw the donkey in the sky. He said Yahweh's very pleased with his work. And we know that that's a promise for us in the last days. In Revelations chapter 3, where it talks about the last seventh era, it says, you know, Yahweh tells us he knows our works, and he has before us an open door. So he knows what we're doing. He knows what he has set out for us to accomplish. And he's constantly encouraging us, showing us that he's pleased with his house. So examples in scripture, for example, in 1 Corinthians 10, we can go there. And in verse 5, it said, speaking of the children of Israel, it said, "But with most of them, Yahweh was not well pleased." You can see there because of their character. Verse 7 shows, "So do not become God worshippers of gods as some of them were." And that's what our overseer is telling us. He's telling us what the God worship is and how to overcome it and showing us what we need to convert to. Okay, in verse 11, "Now all these things took place with them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, on whom the end of the ages have come." Who's the ones that on the end of the ages have come? It's us, right? So this is all written for us. Okay, so another example of someone Yahweh was well pleased with was our great high priest, Yahshua. And Yahweh even said that in Matithiah 3, verse 17. After he was baptized, he said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." And he says the same thing about our great overseer, beloved Yisrael, remember? And why was he well pleased with him? Well, Yahshua did the things that pleased Yahweh. In Yochanan 8:29, he said that. So how can we please Yahweh? Yahshua said, "Seek first the kingdom of Yahweh." So how do we seek first the kingdom of Yahweh? What are we looking for? Matithiah 6:33 is a scripture that our scripture always goes to for that. So we can turn there to Matithiah 6:33, and Yahshua said, "Beseek you second." No, he said, "Seek you first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So that has to be our main focus, being here in Yahweh's house, is seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. And Yahweh's kingdom is his house. This is our training ground. Everything's done according to the pattern here, the way it's going to be done in the future when we get our powers. Okay? When Yahweh's kingdom takes over. So the two things is his kingdom and his righteousness. His righteousness is everything that we're being taught here at Yahweh's house. However, it had to be Yahweh's house that was reestablished to bring forth his righteousness. Because if you remember in Revelation 12, verse 9, what does that say? Satan deceived the whole world. And that deception, part of it, most of it, was brought out in the King James Version. That was brought back in 1782. But it didn't come back in the original Hebrew. It was Yahweh's name removed, Yahshua's name removed, all the names of the prophets and the apostles that had Yahweh's name, they were changed. All of our young children should know this. They changed the Y to the letter what? J, right? They installed the J. and the King James Version went out to all nations and in English. Because, you know, the United States, the second beast, they required English to be the second language that everyone should learn. So all nations taught their students English, and because, you know, money was behind it. So we know these people, like from the United States, they traveled to other nations, they spent their money and spoke English. So that shows the scheme of the devil right there, to spread all this deception with Yahweh's name changed and hidden and forgotten for a certain amount of time to all the world. So Satan deceived the whole world into God worship instead of Yahweh worship. Okay? The house of Yahweh didn't exist in the 1600s, and the name of Yahweh didn't exist in the minds of the people, like in the days of the prophets. Remember Jeremiah 23 says, "They've caused my people to forget my name through the teaching of God worship." So it was all taken away by Satan, her workers, the Roman Catholic Church, and the second beast. But where is the house of Yahweh today? So where's the house of Yahweh today? It's here, right? We're all sitting in it. When Revelation 22, verse 16 is correctly translated, we all know the scripture, it says, the congregations of the house of Yahweh. We're that congregation of the house of Yahweh right now. It says, I, Yahshua, have sent my Malak, we know that's the messenger, to testify to you these things in the congregations of the house of Yahweh. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Okay? Revelation, we know that's the book. This is a book, along with the rest of the book of Yahweh, that shows us things that must come to pass. They must come to pass. Yahweh promised that it would in the end times or the last days. Okay? And this congregation is the house of Yahweh. We already said it was established. Yahweh's prophet Micaiah, among other prophets, Micaiah 4:1-3, he wrote, Yahweh said I would establish my house in the last days. So that means that Yahweh's ways, because it said it will teach my ways and they will learn war no more. Remember that? That means Yahweh's ways were not being taught by any other religion up until that time. We're the only ones now in the last days who are teaching Yahweh's ways. And who's the one Yahweh sent to teach us his ways? Yisrael Hawkins. Nice job. Okay, so what is Yahweh's way? We're going to go back to Revelation 22, verse 14. Blessed are those who keep his laws, right? Or the King James says commandments, that they will can have right to the tree of life and can enter into through the gates into the city. So Yahweh's way is what we're all practicing right now. We're all learning how to be coming to perfection in Yahweh's way, coming into unity. Let's all live it in unity, because this is a time to rejoice that we're seeing the end times coming to pass, Yahweh's prophecies being fulfilled, Satan's kingdom is going down while Yahweh's kingdom is being uplifted, like the prophet said, the uplifting of the house of Yahweh. That's the mountain of the house of Yahweh that, if you've been reading pastor's letters, he's telling you, don't lose our address, right? Come, flee to the mountain, because that's what Yahshua said. He said, when you see all these things come to pass, it's time to get where? To the house of Yahweh at Abel. Praise God. With this, if you all please stand, I'm going to turn over to next week.
Shalom, everyone. You can be seated. My title is The Struggle is Real. I'm going to say that again. The struggle is real. The definition of struggle from Merriam-Webster's dictionary is as follows. And first, this is the verb. Number one, it's to make strenuous or violent efforts in the face of difficulties or opposition. Number two, it's to proceed with difficulty or with great effort. Some synonyms of it are fight, grapple, wrestle, scuffle, brawl, spar, or scrap. And here it is as a noun. It's a contest. Strife, as in a power struggle. It's a showdown. It's a violent effort or exertion, an act of strongly motivated striving. It's a tussle. So I want you to think of that word wrestle, and let's turn to Ephesians 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not only against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual forces of the evil one in the heavens. If you look to the side note of power, which is note E, that says there are delegated influences, forces, authority, and jurisdiction. On page 205 of the second book of Yisrael, Going On to Perfection, chapter 32, it's entitled Wrestling with Yahweh. Pastor tells us that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against authority. The authority is Yahweh, who is the head and will always be the head, if we don't stop wrestling against this authority, if we don't learn to accept this authority, then we won't be there with Yahweh, who is forever. This struggle is a real struggle. Do you agree? This struggle is a physical struggle. It's a mental struggle. It's an emotional struggle. And it's a spiritual struggle. The struggle is for our eternal lives. The patriarch Yaakov had the same struggle. In the second book of Yisrael, same chapter, chapter 32, Pastor goes on to explain in Genesis 32, 24 through 31, where he wrestled with the Amalek at the house of Yahweh. And wrestle means to sit at the teacher's feet studying and overcoming. It indicates a spiritual struggle which many people at this time, right here and right now, are going through. Because the laws of Yahweh have gone out, they're continuing to go out, and we're getting that carnal mind and every thought into subjection. And we must submit 100%. He even afflicted the father of Israel, Yaakov, as he were afflicted. And his afflictions brought him humility. And that humility also gave him compassion and empathy for other people. And that's the same thing that, you know, we're all going through. We suffer our afflictions, the sufferings in the flesh, so we can have a greater understanding of why we must live by every word of Yahweh. When you feel it, it becomes real to you. When you see the suffering, and when you experience the suffering. And in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 9, the Apostle Shaul had a thorn in his side, and it kept him humble. And this is what he said. He said, "My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will gladly boast about my weaknesses that the power of the Messiah can rest upon me." And those are the things that I want to have thoughts about personally. And I think it really helps to take a look at our sufferings and our struggles with that mindset. Our theme, as we all know, and if not, it's by our thoughts we are judged. Honestly, it's only a question that we can answer. And I ask myself, Yahweh, are you pleased with every thought that I have? Are my thoughts based on emotion, or are they based on your 613 laws? And again, I want to go back to the second book of Yisrael. This time it's chapter 22, and it's coming to unity in the last days in agreement with every word of Yahweh on page 198. And Pastor says, Micaiah stands up to cast down Satan, who in 2 Thessalonians 2 says is using an exorbitant amount of energy against Yahweh's people. This is the test that you are going to go through. The only thing that is going to keep hatred out of your mind is the fact that you have your mind set on Yahweh's laws. They will guide you instead of the human emotion that Yahweh said you must overcome. Is this not the very test that we're going through right now? He wrote it back then, but like we're in the 3.5 years and things pop in our mind and it is just unbelievable sometimes. But we do have the tools that the house of Yahweh has provided, you know, us with, the peaceful solution. We have so many things and he gave it to us right now, these certification classes, so we can implement it. This emotion is rough. It's a struggle. But in Psalms 19, verse 14, Yahweh says, "Let the words of our mouths, and the meditations of our heart," starting with a thought, "be acceptable in your sight, O Yahweh, our rock and our redeemer." Now, I want you to think about the thought that Cain must have had before he had his brother murdered. And I really, really want us all to think about that. That was a thought that he had, and he let that thought grow. He didn't repent. He kept it going. And look at what's going on with mankind today. 4/5 of the Earth's population are about to be wiped out because of a thought that became a terrible action. And that's what the gods are putting in people's minds. We know that more of them are around, you know, right now because of the time frame we're in. So it's a serious, serious struggle on getting these things out. We don't want to be part of that system of death. I know that we don't. We want to be a part of the kingdom of heaven. And the only way to do that is to get these thoughts that would not be pleasing to Yahweh under subjection. You're special people, Yahweh. He called you to be his peacemakers. In Psalm 4:3-4, but know that Yahweh sets apart righteous ones for himself. Yahweh will hear us when we call, for we strive, we struggle to be righteous. Stand in awe. Do not be violently moved by any passion or emotion like Cain did, and do not sin. Say you will do this with your heart. Reverence Yahweh on your bed. Be still and stand in awe. Selah. And in Isaiah 55:8-9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says Yahweh. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Our thoughts can be like Yahweh's thoughts, though. And our ways can be Yahweh's ways. It just takes determination. It takes determination. It takes training of the mind and much, much, much practice to put that carnal mind down and implement these laws. And mankind are the only beings who have the ability of rational thought. He made us like that. That's how special we are to him. And we can change our thoughts. We can change our actions. We can make a difference together. Yahweh said in Jeremiah 29:11, he said, my thoughts and plans are for you are peace, not of destruction, to give you the future that you hope for. And I just want to go to the second book of Yisrael again one more time, chapter 32. Pastor talked about Yaakov, and I found it so interesting because I never caught it until I did the other day when I went over it. On page 293, he says, here is a man portrayed as physically wrestling with this being all night. This is a misconception because this probably went on for, I want you to get this, 3.5 years. That just blew my mind. I know that you're like, you can't even say anything because you're like, what? 3.5 years. He said this wrestling match could have gone on for that long or longer until Yaakov fully overcame. Think about the television. Think about the connection that we all have. Think about, there's a really great possibility, just knowing that we're from the house of Yahweh and the wonderful things that we're learning, that this was like an in tandem thing. And we're doing it together because you all taught with the house of Yahweh, Adam and Eve. I mean, that is just amazing to me. I want you to never forget, and I want to never forget where we all came from and what Yahweh has done in each of our lives, where he has brought us and where he wants us to be, and he sees it like it is. The power of Yahweh's laws is mighty. And Yahweh sees it like this. He who has begun a righteous work in every single one of us will continue to into the coming day, soon coming day, of our King Yahshua Messiah. And when he has finished trying us, we will come forth as gold, because that struggle is a real struggle. You're not alone in that struggle, but together in the unity of the faith, we can do this. And don't forget, you are what you think. So think Yahweh. So please rise, and I will now turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You can be seated. And I just wanted to start by reminding each and every one of us that we are so, so very blessed to be alive in the time period of the seventh Malach, who has not only brought back the name of Yahweh to each and every one of us, but he has brought back the pure word, which is the book of Yahweh, as it is said in Zephaniah 3:9, so that we can come together in unity to properly, with full understanding, serve Yahweh. And I just want each and every one of us to please just keep that in the forefront of our minds, that we are truly a blessed people to be alive at this time, the time of the greatest troubles out in the world, and then to have the greatest and the largest test put upon us. That is such a great honor that we all should always keep in the forefront of our minds. Praise God. Now, the title of my speech today is, "With Love We Will Put On Our Garments and Enter Into the Kingdom Together." Now, what is the one thing that our great teacher has, or why has our great teacher for so many years been encouraging each and every one of us to hurry and work? What are some of the reasons that you can think of why our great teacher has been urging us to hurry, work, work, hurry? Is it that there's a lot of work to do? Is it that there are 2 billion people and he needs each and every one of us to have a hand in getting ready for those to come? Or how about, is it that he is the wisest man on the face of this planet, and he knows that our struggle is real, like the last teacher just said? And what better way to get your mind off of your struggles and off of yourself than to immerse yourself in the service of Yahweh? Overseer knows that our struggle is tough. He knows. And guess what? Yahweh knows too. And he's given us a great tool to come together each and every day to be a blessing to one another. And while you're being a blessing to one another, your thoughts are on righteousness, because you're not thinking about yourself. You're not thinking about anything carnal or anything unrighteous. You're thinking about Yahweh's work. That is awesome, because that right there will help you to replace those negative thoughts. Now, I have the great blessing of working in the cafeteria, and I work along some very righteous women. And we always strive to uplift one another. We always strive to laugh as much as possible to make the day a joy for one another. But now there's sometimes when I go to reach for that doorknob to go into that cafeteria, and I open the door and whoosh, the heat is on. Nobody said a word. Nobody's done anything, but you can feel the heat. And I'm not talking about the ovens. So how is it that before anyone says anything or does anything, that you can feel that pressure? Well, our great teacher is now explaining to us about this field, this magnetic energy. And he also said it's emotional also, that goes between each and every one of us. So there, right there, we're learning that affects each of us. So on those days when you walk into work and you feel that heat immediately, your mind should automatically go into, how can I be a blessing to my coworkers today? Because obviously the struggle is real today for somebody in here, probably even everybody. So how can I be a blessing today? And that's the time that you go out of your way to say kind words to others. And it matters. I've seen it work. I've seen it. When you go out of your way to say an uplifting, kind word to your sisters when they look down, You don't have to know what she's thinking about, but you can automatically switch her thoughts from those that make her downcast to those that uplift her and make her smile. That's what we should be striving to do for one another. That's that body in unity. Not just thinking about getting yourself into the kingdom, but being a blessing to everyone so that we can all go in together. Now, when we look in Matthew 22:14, it talks about how many are called, but few are chosen. And if you've been here for any bit of time, you've seen many leave. And sometimes it can be hard to see those leave, but we have to focus on the ones of us who are here and who are staying. And the ones of us who are here staying, we need to help uplift them. Because within that verse, that's talking about the parable of the wedding feast. And when I think about the parable of the wedding feast, I started thinking about these linen garments and how we are now being blessed and being given that right to put on these garments. And if you think about our overseer, he's been wearing linen now for decades. And you can see that connection that he has with Yahweh. And now he's telling us that we are now ready to put on those linen garments as well. That is so awesome, great family. Don't take it lightly. Get excited and actually be encouraged about doing these things. Because this is a great blessing to be able to make this connection. And with that, I thought about Yekeskia 18:23. Yahweh would that none of us would die. None of us. But you remember what Overseer said? Overseer said, Yahweh's not going to come down and beg you. I'm begging you right now. I'm begging you right now. Set your thoughts on righteousness so that we can get into this kingdom together. Now, in Proverbs 27:17, it talks about how that iron sharpens iron. And that's what we're going to set our minds to do. We're going to sharpen each other, and we're going to come into unity. And we're going to be on the same page in one accord. We put in too much time, family. I don't care if you just came last week. That's too much time for you to throw it away, okay? So if you go over to Philippians 2:2, and Yeshua was saying to complete my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being united in one accord. He talked about that love. Great family, what's love? Yes. 2 Yohanan 1:6 tells us that this is love, that we walk after his law. Those are the laws that, as you have heard from the beginning, so this is not anything new, but who did it take to teach us this? That's right, our teacher, that seventh Malach. He brought back this pure word so that we could learn how to truly love one another. And in this way, we should walk. So I just want to leave you all with encouraging words to please consider one another. I will consider you, you will consider me. And as we consider one another, our thoughts won't be those of carnality, won't be those of hatred, won't be those of malice. Our thoughts will be on love, righteousness, purity, modesty, love, true love in Yeshua Messiah. And soon, very soon now, we will put on our garments and we will enter into the kingdom together. And with that, if you could all please stand, I'd like to bring up the next teacher.
give up, you'd be so astonished. Our brothers and sisters working together towards a common goal, that's Yahweh's kingdom. Guard your mind, guard your thoughts, guard your feelings.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. I don't know about you, but that's one of my anchor songs right now. I love it, and it really helps us. So I'm asking you, are you prepared to stand in your place as the tests and trials come? We're going to know the only way we can successfully do that is by guarding our thoughts, our mind, and our feelings. Those troublous feelings, they can get us into so much trouble if we're not careful. My title is Stand Strong in Yahweh's House. Don't let anything take your crown, especially your thoughts. Now, when we got this theme about we are judged by our thoughts, I really had to contemplate that because I've always thought, by your words you're justified, by your words you're condemned. And I thought, okay, our great overseer is so wise. What is he trying to get us to think about here? Think, the pun, right? So what it is our minds, if you look at it like a foyer, F-O-Y-E-R, if you've ever heard that word, it's a French word, and there's like an entry before you go into a main entry. So there's a set of doors, you go into a little room, and then another set of doors that goes into a big room. So in that foyer is where our thoughts come in. Do you allow all thoughts to go into the main room after that? The key is what you do with those thoughts in that foyer. Yahweh wants to see how we're handling our thoughts. He wants to see what we do with them when they come in, because there are lots of influences out there, our past, our memories, our experiences. We have the whole jivasi that can affect why we think what we think. But the key is, what do we do with it? What do we do with those thoughts when they come in? Certain thoughts, when they're negative, you want to kick them back out the door. Don't let them in. Don't dwell on them. Don't meditate on those negative thoughts. Kick them back out. But the ones that are pleasant, the ones that are righteous, the ones that build up the great house of Yahweh, open that door wide and let those thoughts in. Meditate on those. Those are the keys that we want to focus on. Now, I'd like to go to the peaceful solution, because that's where we get all of our training for those thoughts, right? And if you go to the character unit, page 80, it says, watch your thoughts. A very critical aspect of maintaining your positive character is being aware of your thoughts. Thoughts continuously run through your mind, which are significant in controlling your actions and your decisions. So every action begins with a thought, right? A particular thing to be aware of is the negative thoughts that may enter your mind when you feel someone has wronged you, when you are desiring something that you know is maybe not lawful. You can put lots of different things in that part right there. It's important, however, that when these types of negative thoughts, revenge, retaliation, selfishness, greed, lust, illegal lust, whatever they may be, to immediately reevaluate them and turn them into positive thoughts that will not lead to your compromising your positive character. Our building our character is what we're all about, right? That's the number one goal we have in life, is to build our character, because we want our character to be like Yahweh. That's right. And that's the only way we're going to get there. So using positive thinking to reevaluate situations has great potential in helping you maintain your positive character. Now, I found an article. I'd like to share it with you. It came out of PNAS.org, and the title is New Evidence That Optimistic People Live Longer. I like that. We want to live forever, right? According to a major new study involving thousands of people across three decades, optimistic people live as much as 15% longer than pessimists. Optimism refers to the general belief that great things will occur, and because we have control over our choices, hint, 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 and important outcomes, the future will be beneficial. It will be blessed. Pessimism, meanwhile, generally refers to the opposite. Everything is a scam. Everyone is out to get us, and
We have little control over our lives, and bad things are bound to take place. As to why this is the case, this study was done, and this researcher said other research suggests that optimistic people may be able to regulate emotions, control, govern, okay, and behavior, as well as bounce back from stressors, trials, and difficulties more easily. So you get that, okay? So they can regulate emotions and behavior. They're practicing what character trait? Self-control. And they're bouncing back from the trials and the tests and the bumps and the issues that come up. Pastor said, you know, you see little ants bumping into one another. They don't attack each other at that point, right? They just bump and keep going. And so that's what we need to do, is bump and keep going and have pleasant conversations, as we've heard a lot about today. That's very, very important. The link between optimism and health is becoming more evident. So as we're more optimistic, we have better health, because our thoughts really can control how we feel, which affect our health in general. Okay, the great news for the negative Nellies amongst us is that optimism is not a fixed trait within us, and greater optimism can be developed. I like the wording of that. They put everything on the opposite side, on the positive side. So we want to be optimistic Olivias. Okay, we're going to be the optimistic Olivias. The challenge, of course, is that pessimists don't believe such changes are possible. Do we see ourselves entering into the kingdom of Yahweh? Do we see ourselves making it into the kingdom? That's what we want to do. So simply practicing gratitude, such as taking a few minutes daily to write down what you are thankful for. Write it down. There's something about writing it down that empowers us, and it makes it more real. And then this has been shown to improve our optimism. So positive thinking will let you do everything better than negative thinking will. Guaranteed. So be an optimistic Olivia, not a negative Nellie, or I'm going to throw in there a gossiping Gertrude, because Gertrude can be pretty negative too, and she likes to spread all those things about other people. I'd like to go to page 88 of the character unit, Room to Grow. We all need to give one another room to grow, and especially, sisters, we can be our own worst critics. We can give ourselves room to grow, too. We all make mistakes. We all fall short. But like it was said at the beginning, when you fall down, what do? You get back up, right? We're not quitters. We've been here too long. Don't quit, sisters. We want to remain in the house of Yahweh forever. Pastor says, as long as you stay with him through to the end, you're going to make it. And this is where we're learning these skills to help us stay. Have you ever said, I can't believe I just did that. That isn't what I meant to do. Well, you're not alone. Everyone will say or do something that is wrong from time to time. Sometimes we get our values, our desires of our heart mixed up, or we are swayed by negative influences, or you can put negative emotions there. We sometimes react impulsively, and suddenly, by surprise, we regret the choices that we made. Okay, now that word impulsive means to act on emotions without careful consideration of the consequences of your actions. So what positive character trait is going to help that? Because it's not yielding to impulsive thoughts and actions. It's called... I heard it. Say it one more time. Self-control. It's the foundation. If we don't have self-control at our foundation with every thought that comes in, okay, is this going to stay in that foyer, or am I going to kick it out, or I'm going to open it up and say, yes, I will dwell on this, or we're going to go impulsively and have regrets, because regrets always follow impulsive behavior. So if your thoughts make it in and out of your head, in fact, as you couldn't tell, sorry, if your thoughts race in and out of your head so fast that you couldn't tell someone you were thinking just a few minutes ago, then it's time to start noticing what your thoughts are. Sometimes keeping a record of your thoughts can help you become more aware of what you think about. During the course of the day, simply write your thoughts down. Now, years ago, I couldn't get the date on it, but years ago we had a law class called the Governing Series. How many remember that series? That was an awesome series, and it was on men's side, women's side. It was excellent. And that's where it hit me, so to speak,
Wow, I really need to pay attention to my thoughts. I can't just let anything come into my mind. And it's from that point, from the great teaching of the house of Yahweh through the one Saint Yisroel Hawkins, the wisest man, the greatest teacher on the face of the earth, that we have the ability to control our thoughts. Does the world control their thoughts? They're all over the place. They don't have a clue. We try to give them the tools of the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, just like Yahweh's laws. They reject it. Oh, thank you. We've got our own way. We'll go just fine the way we're going here. So you can understand that we have a lot ahead of us, sisters, but we are doing it. Now, I want to bring out about the linen real quick. This is our opportunity with those linen robes. Pastor is bringing us forth. He's putting us out to the world with this linen. It's not a small thing. So I encourage you to grasp hold of this project. Pray about it if you can't sew. Whatever you can't do, pray about it. And let's show Yahweh our unity as we're preparing for the great kingdom of Yahweh. At this time, would you all please stand? I have the honor of turning it over.
You can all be seated. Shalom, women of New, and shalom, courts of heaven. My title is The Grand Finale. And a grand finale is a very exciting or impressive ending of a performance or show. It's an important, complete event that you normally look forward to. Like when you watch a show, you look forward to how it's going to end. Just remember, the courts of heaven is watching. They were waiting for this grand finale. And they're going to see something here. What they're going to see here in this court right now is a paternity test. Yeah, paternity test. Yeah, Father Yahweh got questioned. Y'all didn't know that? Because of our behavior. They said, Yahweh, look at their actions. We know thoughts lead to feelings, and feelings lead to action. Are you their father? Are you the father, Yahweh? Are you the father? Look how they're behaving. Look how they're behaving. Look how they're behaving. I have the results right here in my hand. Whether or not Yahweh is the father, we're going to find this out soon enough. Because remember, Yahweh gave the heavens permission to watch us. That is the reason why we are the only ones he created on the outside of the planet. That's the reason. Because he said, I don't have any secrets. They don't have any secrets. So if you thought you were hiding something, guess what? They can see every single thing. Everything. They are aware of thoughts because they know the action wouldn't be what it is if it didn't start with a thought. And then the feeling, and then the action. On page 491 in the book of Yahweh is Psalms 139:17. You know, Yahweh has thoughts. It says, how precious, valuable your thoughts are to us. Oh, Yahweh, how great, vast is the sum of them. Yahweh thinks about us nonstop. Yes, he's obsessive, and it's a great thing. Yahweh is obsessed. He loves it. He loves us. That's why he's excited. He wants to know the results. Don't you want to know the results? Yes, I want to know the results. Okay, it's time for the results. Oh, whoa. Okay, based on what the lab brought back, great Father Yahweh, you are the Father. Yeah! Praise Yahweh. He is the Father. Woo! I'm thankful. I'm so thankful. Yahweh is the Father. And you know, Yahweh is not a respecter of persons. He owns up for his. He like, yeah, I'm the Father. That's right, I am the Father. Yeah. It's not Darth Vader. It's not the devil. It's not Satan. I'm the Father. He's not denying any of us. He would not deny any of us. Even though he see all our shortcomings, he know the grand finale is at hand, and he know the ending results. He already see us. He already see us past the finish line. And remember, Yahweh introduced himself. Because remember, those of us who was called, We didn't always know Yahweh. We are on a journey to learn who our Father is. We are on a journey. We were thinking God was the Father. We were believing Satan, the devil. She had us eating what she wanted, drank what she drank, spoke like she spoke, walked in her ways. She even had us dressing in her attire. But Yahweh says, no, no, I'm your Father. You're going to dress just like me. And we do ask Father Yahweh, Yahweh, make me what you want me to be, because that's what I want to be. Yahweh's like, sure enough, I will. Remember the overseer said? Overseer said, we are Yahweh's super gang. So we got our number, 1074, 322. I think the other one is 7613. We got our color is purple. And now he revealed our attire. We're going to have a robe. So we're getting there. We're getting there. The gang is going to be complete soon enough. And on page 471 in the book of Yahweh, Psalms 93, verse 1. Remember, Yahweh does not encourage us to do something he's not already doing. It says, Yahweh reigns. He said, you clothe yourself with majesty. You, O Yahweh, our Father, robe yourself with strength. You put it on. He puts it on. Yahweh puts on his robe. And Yahweh wants us to put on that robe. I see I got 5 minutes. Went fast. Remember, Yahweh's plan for man from the beginning was to make man in his image and his likeness. And Yahweh is doing that. Yahweh hasn't strayed away from that at all. This is what Yahweh has done for us. I'm going to read from the third Roman month prophetic word, page 13. It says, of all of Yahweh's creation, mankind is the only living being capable of making a choice. And we must choose. We must choose. It's not by force. It's a choice. And we have in 1 Corinthians 10:13, Yahweh says, he will not give us anything. He will not give us anything we can't bear. He will give us a way of escape so that we are able to bear it. He's not a father of neglect. He will not leave us in the back of the car to die of a heat stroke. Yahweh will remember us in the back seat, the front seat. Yahweh will remember his children. He doesn't forget us. Yahweh is a great listener. In Yochanan chapter 11, 42, Yeshua even said that. He said, Father, I know that you always hear me. Yahweh is always listening. Yahweh can see us in our struggles, in our battles. But as children, now that we know Yahweh's our Father, the test results came in. He's 100% the daddy. Yahweh wants us to talk to him. For those of us who do have children, it's not a comfortable environment when your children don't talk to you. It's not. Yahweh feels the same. He wants that communication. He wants to see and hear us. He wants us to tell him. Not, well, Yahweh, you already know. No, tell me. Express yourself. Because remember, Yahweh knows our heart and mind. He's the only one who knows that. The courts of heaven has to watch it. He wants it said. The record is being recorded. He wants to hear it. Yahweh, I messed up. Yahweh, I'm going to do better. Yahweh, I repent. I'm truly remorseful. He is aware of that. Now they're hearing it also. And on page 746 in the book of Yahweh, Matthew 18:18, it says, truly, I say to you, whatever you declare to be unlawful on earth is that which has been declared unlawful in heaven. And whatever you declare to be lawful on earth will be that which has been declared lawful in heaven. Meaning that whatever takes place that's lawful on earth is lawful in the kingdom. What's unlawful on earth is unlawful in the kingdom. So we must guard our thoughts. Yahweh would never ever send anyone an unlawful dream. He doesn't fulfill unlawful requests and desires. That's not what he does. If you're dreaming something that's not lawful, guess what? It didn't come from him. It came from the devil. That's who sent you the dream. Yahweh would never send anyone an unlawful dream. Yahweh would never inspire anyone to do an unlawful act. Anything done like that is from the devil. Well, Yahweh allowed it to be. No, he did not. You wanted it to be that way. Gave into the pull of the devil. Gave into the whisper of the devil. Yahweh says, but you can repent. Because he doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants all of us to make it in the kingdom. Since I got the 1 minute, son. The overseer mentioned about Yeshua Messiah. How he can teleport. And he still can. How he just showed up. And it says the door was locked. And no, he didn't go in through the back window. The door was locked. They didn't have any windows, I guess, because it wasn't mentioned. But the door was locked and he appeared in the room. It was also instances in which he was talking to them and he vanished. Now think about this. What's lawful on earth is lawful in the heavens. And what's unlawful on earth is unlawful in the heavens. Like kidnapping is unlawful. Can you imagine someone who's a kidnapper getting teleportation abilities? What? He can kidnap probably, or she, 2 trillion children in a matter of seconds with that teleportation. Or commit fornication at the speed of light. Committing adultery at the speed of light. Yahweh says, nuh-uh, not in my kingdom. Not in my kingdom. That's what Yahweh's saying. We need to check our thoughts now. Check them now. Because Yahweh wants us to have not just the robes here on earth, but the robes in Yahweh's Shema. He wants to hand them to us. Yahweh already have them there. Do you know how pumped Yeshua is right now? He's more pumped than me right now. He's very excited. Very excited. And with the stop sign, I like to say, encourage everyone. Like the song says, that when we fall, we do get back up. Don't just stay down on the ground. Let's admit, accept, I fell. But get up. Get up. Face the embarrassment. Face the humiliation. It's okay. Get up and keep running. And with this, I turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. My title today is, O Judge Us, Yahweh, We Have Walked in Integrity. From my youth, Pastor Yeshua Hawkins has taught me all about Yahweh. And we just heard a lot of great things about Yahweh. And here's some more. You know, Pastor taught me that he's the creator of everything. He has certain characteristics that he's made up of, the 13 attributes. He is the only being that can foretell the future. And he is the only source of power in the universe. Now, all that is really great. But the most important thing that the overseer has taught me about Yahweh is that he is our heavenly Father. And the only stipulation he puts on that is that we keep his laws. And then he calls us our heavenly Father. We can call him that. As the great Kohana was just talking about, right? This amazing being has a plan. And he's included all of us in his plan. And not only that, sisters, he's set a goal for each and every one of us. And in the Mark of the Beast, part 2, Pastor wrote about this. It's chapter 12, verse 17. And Pastor wrote, Yahweh wants a family that will have the very character he has. Yahweh's character will be of true love and also the deep concern for those who are righteous. It is Yahweh's character that brings trust to those around you who will also be righteous. It is his character that Yahweh has planned from the beginning to put in each member of his family. So, sisters, Yahweh knows each and every one of us. He has to know us in order to see if we're fit for this family that he's putting together. Let's just say Earth is the laboratory. Okay, and Yahweh has us under the microscope. Do you feel like you're under the microscope? Remember, it says that Yahweh knows He counted all the hairs on my head, your head, every single hair, even the ones I pulled out when I was combing it this morning. Okay? He knows they're gone. But what is he looking for? How is he making his decision on who's in this family? Psalm 139, verses 1 through 4, gives us a really great clue. It's subtitled, "Where Could We Go From You?" O Yahweh, you have examined us thoroughly, and you know us. You know when we sit down and when we rise up. You comprehend our every thought from a distance. Yes, Yahweh knows every thought we think, sisters. And, you know, we've heard today so much about what kind of thoughts we should be having. Because Yahweh's judging those every thoughts, every single thought. He's judging it. He's weighing it out. Is this one I can use, that I can trust, that I can put over places in the universe that will never bring harm or hurt? Continuing here, you inquire into our going out. You scrutinize our lying down. Even if we hit that snooze button, right? He's scrutinizing it. You are acquainted with all our ways, everything. For there is not a word sitting on our tongues that you do not know all of it, O Yahweh. And that's sitting, I thought about that. If it's sitting on your tongue, has it come off your tongue? No. So he knows what we're about to say or what we're about to hold back, right? He knows the thoughts going before and the feelings that are building, that are sitting on our tongue, waiting to come forth or to be held back. What will they do? He's saying, and he's watching. So in other words, Yahweh knows every thought we think. He reads every emotion we are feeling, and he sees all that we do. So how can we pass Yahweh's examination, right? This isn't a written examination. No, this is the one under the microscope, remember? We have to do what he does. It's simple. We have to examine ourselves. And Kefa really gave a lot of encouragement to us, the Apostle Kefa. In 2 Kefa 3:11, he asked us a question. What manner of person ought we to be in holy conduct and righteousness? And in 1 Kefa 3:3 through 4, he said, let your adorning, now he's talking to us, the women in Yahweh's house, let your adorning not be only be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and wearing of gold or of putting on fine apparel. He's not saying it's wrong. It's fine to look your best. But in verse 4, also let it be that of your inner self of the heart, with the incorruptible ornament of a meek, which is humble, and quiet spirit, which is of great value in the sight of Yahweh. Great value in the sight of Yahweh. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for what is in here, sisters. What are we putting in here daily? And the Apostle Kefa, he encourages us on and on in this chapter. I want to encourage you to read the whole chapter. But he also, going to verse 8, he says, finally, all of you be of one mind. So does that mean we all have to think exactly alike? No. Yahweh says we are all our own personalities. We're unique individuals, right? But he's asking us, he's wanting to see who's going to come in unity, one mind, with his laws, with his way. And whenever any situation is put before us, are we going to use his laws to make our choices? Or are we going to forget about those laws and just go with what we feel? No, that's not going to work for Yahweh. He's got us under that microscope. And we will be the ones to lose out if we choose to do evil, sisters. It's a clear choice, right? It is a no-brainer, really, when you put them right out there and look at them. Yahweh doesn't want anyone who would have to be forced to obey his laws. That's why he's so awesome. He gives us this free choice. And I just want to read real quickly to you Mark of the Beast, Part 2, Chapter 17. And he says, in fact, Yahweh will not give eternal life to anyone who will not, by choice, completely submit to his laws. And if you jump down to, he gives some scriptures that back this up that the apostles wrote in Jacob 1:27, 4:7-8, 1 Kefa 5:8-9, and Yada 1:3-4. But then he says this really interesting point here. Being forced to obey Yahweh's laws would not prove that any forced man or woman would continue without sinning if the opportunity to commit sin arose and the force to obey Yahweh was stopped. So if we're forced to keep the laws, eventually we will just choose not to keep the laws, is what he's saying. We all must prove ourselves to Yahweh before we will be given the enormous powers Yahweh has intended for his children and his family to have. The main purpose Yahweh has for those whom he calls out is to prove that person, to try him or her, to see if he or she will be totally righteous, or whether the pressure exerted by Satan, will make them turn against Yahweh. Sisters, I know that we desire to be on Yahweh's side, not to turn against Yahweh. And he did not tell us what we must do to qualify for his family without giving us a perfect example, right? He gave us our high priest, Yeshua Messiah, and it was quoted a couple times today, 2 Corinthians 10:5. You know, he brought every thought under control. We can do it. He showed us, he gave us that perfect example. We can bring our thoughts under control, our feelings, and every action that comes forth off our tongue, by our hands, all of it. We are being examined by Yahweh to see if we will control ourselves and choose only righteousness, sisters, as Psalm 139 tells us, and also 2 Kefa 3:9. He's not slack concerning his promise, but he's long-suffering towards us. He's going to wait on us. And sisters, let's make up our minds that we have learned the lessons that Yishuel Hawkins has taught us for so many years. If we really want to be like Yahweh, let's keep our word. Let's strive to practice two wrongs don't make right. And let's put on the whole armor of Yahweh by really guarding our minds with his laws. Let's make our thoughts like Yahweh's and achieve the goal that he has set for us. And let's be able to stand confidently and be able to say these words to our Heavenly Father in his kingdom. As it says in Psalm 26, O judge us, Yahweh, we shall not waver. We have walked in integrity. We have trusted in you, Yahweh. Examine us and prove us now, O Yahweh. Try our minds and hearts. Your loving kindness we do see, and we have walked in your paths of truth. We do not sit with God worshippers, nor do we go with hypocrites. We hate the congregation of evildoers, and we will not sit with wicked ones. We wash our hands in innocence, so we will compass your altar, O Yahweh, proclaiming our thanksgiving and telling all your wondrous works. We do love the house of Yahweh, the place where your honor dwells, not ours, but yours, Yahweh. Group us not among all those sinful ones, nor sweep our lives away with bloodthirsty men, whose hands are full of wickedness and their right hand is full of bribes. But for us, we walk in integrity. Redeem us and have mercy on us, Yahweh. Our feet have stood firmly among the upright. We stand in the congregation and bless you, great Yahweh. And at this time, it's my honor and privilege to turn it to our next speaker.
Shabbat shalom. Please be seated. Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb of Yahweh who takes away all sin. This is probably the most excited I've been since baptism. So I want to share with you. I read the briefing. We got a brief. This is what you need to talk about. And I thought, wow, okay. My thoughts. Every day, everything that comes to me, it feels like I'm a funnel. Emails, phone calls, 3-4 phone calls at one time, standing at talking behind me, in front of me, on the side of me. And I hope this is a useful tool to you, because I condensed everything that's in me into 3 points. The first thing I asked, and I talked to my Father, I said, Yahweh, if you can hear me, allow me to remain in your house forever. As the information is pouring in and pouring in, I weed it out if it does not promote me being in the house of Yahweh forever. The second thing I asked of Yahweh, this is so personal. I asked Yahweh that he would allow me to be a blessing and not a burden to his house. I like dentistry and all. I enjoy my job, but it's challenging, you know? And I asked Yahweh if he could give me the strength, because I don't think I could do any job for 16 years. Like, I asked him, please give me the strength so I would help and not take away from. And I asked him that if he would allow me never to bring any hurt, harm, or disappointment to his witness. And those are some big words. Those hurt, harm, and disappointment, those are big words. So when the linen garments came out, I was emotional like this, all of this saline, crying. I was so emotional and so excited, because let's look there. If you have your books of Yahweh, let's turn to Zechariah chapter 3. And then I can focus this emotion into joy. In verse 1 it says, then Yahweh showed me Yeshua the high priest standing before the Malak of Yahweh, with Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. Now, I told you before, she's always in everything, causing all kinds of mess all the time. This being is really doing her job. She is really doing her job. Yahweh, who has all power, says to her, Satan, Yahweh rebukes you. Yes, Yahweh, who has chosen Israel, rebukes you. Is not this a band pulled from the fire? Now, Yeshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the Malak, and he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. Then to him he said, behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with the change of raiment. Now, there are a couple of really awesome scriptures. The New International Version says, see, in the last part of verse 4, see, I have taken away your sin. I will put fine garments on you. There's a wonderful team of sewers who they have to make garments. These garments are being made as the physical representation of us pulling off this filth. We have a short amount of time to get this filth off of us. If you can please turn to Zechariah chapter 7, if I can find it myself. In Zechariah chapter 7, it says in verse 10, "Do not oppress the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. Let none of you imagine, think, or devise evil in your heart against your brother." And, you know, sometimes we don't know who our brother is or our neighbor. Parents, I have so much respect for you. You are wonderful. You know what's going on? Your patience is being tested. Guess what? Children, are the children out there? Children, your patience is being tested too. If you work with anyone in business transactions, your patience is being tested. Anyone who knows anyone and has ever talked to anyone in life, your patience is being tested, okay? And that is us coming to this perfection. The holy garments, these garments being made, we have a dedicated team. If you'll turn with me to Exodus chapter 25. In verse 40, it says, "And see that you make them," making a spiritual. Now, I'm going to say this like our great Kohan in Trinidad, a character. He is making a spiritual character, the pattern which was shown on the mountain. Israel Hawkins is making us into this pattern. And you can't make the garment unless you have the vision from the person who has the pattern. In the 1 minute that I have left, Exodus 31, in verse 2 it says, "See, I have chosen Bezaleel, son of Uri, the son of Ur, of the tribe of Yada, and I have filled him with the spirit of Yahweh, with skill, ability, knowledge, and all kinds of crafts." This that's going on right now, Yahweh gave you your skill, your ability, your knowledge. It is given by Yahweh. When we had the 7-light lampstand, the Ark of the Testimony, the altar of the incense, there were Bezaleels who were inspired by Yahweh. That same thing is going on right now. In the 1 minute that I have left, I want to show you a person really quickly. We have been wearing, I can't wait to get my garment. I have been wearing these low-frequency polyester plastic clothes. The clothes are killing us. Did you know that? These clothes are killing us. It's low-frequency. You know, we're going to need linen wigs and linen braids. We're going linen out, okay? Linen all the way out. In the 1 minute that I have left, if you'll go to verse 15. "For 6 days work shall be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh." In verse 17, "It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever." If you are out there, and if any of this makes sense to you, I need for you to just, so far, if it makes sense to you, pay close attention. The Catholic Encyclopedia, Volume 4, The Ten Commandments, written in 1908, well, published in 1908, has the question. This was posed to a man named James Gibbons. He was a cardinal. I have his little picture up here. I always wondered who he was. Do you see that little man right there? He's not wearing holy linen garments. He has that polyester on. This was his response when asked. The question was, how prove you that the church had power to command feasts and holidays? His answer is, this is published in the Sabbath Every Question Answer. And I need for you, if you hear this, to be real about this answer that this man gives. By the very act of changing the Sabbath into Sunday, which Protestants allow of, and therefore they fondly contradict themselves by keeping Sunday strictly and breaking most other feasts commanded by the same church. The question, have you any other way of proving that the church has power to institute festivals of precept? His answer, had she not such power, she could not have done that in which all modern religious agree with her. She could not have substituted the observance of Sunday, the first day of the week, for the observance of Saturday, the seventh day of the week, a change for which there is no scriptural authority. Tomorrow is the first day of the week. I am asking you, do not go to church tomorrow. Don't go there. Don't go there. Don't go there. Please join us live next week at the House of Yahweh. If you have to drive, you can start walking now. You might make it, but be careful. We would love to see you, and thank you kindly for allowing me to talk to you. Oh. We love you, Israel!
Shalom! Please be seated. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech today is, What Does Your Heart Pump? And I want to start with Deuteronomy 6:5. And you must love Yahweh your Father with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And we also know that's positive law number 3. And in verse 6, he says, and these laws which I command you this day must be in your heart. And in Jeremiah 17:9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So just from these scriptures, we see that Yahweh is telling us we can actually store certain things in our hearts. This is not just a symbolic thing. These emotions are actually stored within our hearts. And in Jeremiah 17:10, Yahweh says, I, Yahweh, search the heart. So when Yahweh searches our heart, what does he find stored there? And I want to show, it's just a very short clip, it's only 1 minute, and this is actually of an unborn baby in the womb and the development of the heart. So if we could go ahead and play the video, please.
One of the first organs to form is the heart. Until now, the tiny clump of heart cells, about the size of a poppy seed, has been still. But after 22 days, a single cell stirs, as if jolted to life. This tiny movement sparks a chain reaction, and other cells in the cluster pick up the rhythm. Incredibly, they all begin to beat in perfect unison. The new cells divide, dance to the same beat, and will grow to form the embryo's heart. The muscle cells of the heart are pre-programmed to contract. Later on, when the nervous system is more developed, the brain will carefully control the rate of contraction, keeping it steadily beating and pumping for the rest of the child's life.
Praise Yahweh. So I just want to go over real quick what you just heard. So it said at 22 days, the heart actually springs to life. And it said one cell starts to beat, and all the other cells around it join in until they're beating in perfect unison. Now, the video said that the cell is pre-programmed to start beating. That's what science says when they don't really understand. They don't really know how it works, so they say, oh, it's just pre-programmed to do it. What they don't understand is that's the life that Yahweh puts within that cell, right? We understand that. We are actually training to have that ability, because mankind can create all the artificial cells they want in the world, but they don't have that ability to put life within those cells. So that one heart cell that is pre-programmed to start beating is actually that life that Yahweh has put in it. The heart is the first organ to develop, and it actually dictates the development of all the other organs, which means the heart actually dictates the development of the brain. And then after the brain is formed, for the rest of your life, your brain dictates and regulates your heart. So we see there is a very real connection between the heart and the mind, or the brain. And I don't want to get too technical on it, but I just want us to stop and think that every single drop of blood within our body goes through our heart at some point or another. So that's the physical of it. If we have love and Yahweh's laws in our hearts, and that blood goes through our heart, what occurs? If we have evil, deceitfulness, hatred within our hearts, and that blood goes through it, what occurs? And I want to read Proverbs 4:23. It was read earlier from the book of Yahweh, "Guard your mind, for out of it flows the springs of life." But I want to read it to you from the NIV, because I like the way it was worded in there. This is Proverbs 4:23 from the New International Version. It says, "Above all, guard your heart, for everything flows from it." So I want us to picture this, because if we have an issue with something, or someone occurs and we hold on to it, you know, you have a computer screen, you have to hit file, save. That's what we do. We save those emotions. We save them and we put them in our hearts. So let's use hatred for an example. I have hatred that I have hit file, save, and it is now saved in my heart. I have all this blood. It goes through the heart and it picks up just a little bit of that hatred. And then what occurs? It goes all the way throughout my body. And it leaves a little bit of that hatred in every single cell in my body. So then the blood comes back up again. The hatred is still there. It's still in my heart. My blood goes through the hatred again. It's tainted. Every single drop of my blood is tainted with that hatred, and it goes again and again and again, and it gets stronger and stronger and stronger until we get to that point of Hebrews 12:15, where that root of bitterness has grown up within us. It is a physical thing. Every single cell in our body has been infused with that hatred, and it affects every single thing we do. Now look at it the same way. If we hit file save to thankfulness, and we have thankfulness in our heart, the blood goes through, filtered through thankfulness. Every cell in our body is blessed with thankfulness. It goes through again. The thankfulness gets stronger. It goes through again. It gets stronger and stronger and stronger until every single cell in our being is thankful. It's a real thing, sisters, and that's what I want to encourage us. Philippians 4:7 says we have to have the peace of Yahweh in our hearts. And we need to recognize there's no such thing as just a little hatred. There's no such thing as just a little bitterness. If we are holding on to these things, it is poisoning our bodies. Now, I'm going to be very real with y'all for a minute. We are going to offend each other, okay? We are going to hurt each other's feelings. At some point, I will hurt your feelings. Not on purpose, but I will. At some point, you will hurt my feelings. It's unavoidable when you have a family who's together. It's unavoidable. But the answer is Ephesians 4:26. Don't let the sun go down on our wrath. Don't hold on to it. Scripture says, go to your sister and make it right. So we have two choices when I offend you. You can come to me and say, Shalevia, you offended me. And I'll say, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to. Please forgive me. Or we can let it go. Those are our options. Holding on to it, nursing it. I'm just saving it for a rainy day. I don't really have any issue with that sister, but, you know, I'll never trust her again. I'll hold on to the rest of my life the way she treated me, but I don't have any problem with her. We've got to stop deceiving ourselves and holding on to these negative things. For 40 years in this wilderness, we've been complaining. Has it helped anything? We've been telling our friends about how wrong the house of Yahweh is and how evil it is. Has it made you righteous? Has it helped us to overcome? No, right? Do you agree? After you've blasted with your friends about how you don't agree with the robes, do you feel better? It's foolishness and it's ignorance and it's poisoning our bodies. We've got to let go of these things. We have to be aware. We heard a lot today about our thoughts, and that's the first thing. Guard your mind. Guard your thoughts. Reject the negative thoughts. Do not hit file save. Do not hold on to those negative hearts and store them in our hearts. We've got to let them go. You know, the computer, if you work on a computer, sometimes if you try to save over something, you hit file, save over, and it'll say, are you sure you want to do this? Yes, I want to save over that hatred because I don't want that. Yes, I want to save over that negative feeling I just had because I don't want that. So as feast approaches, focus, be aware, be aware, be aware of the thoughts that are coming in. And just because we're busy does not mean we're stressed. And I want to make that very clear because we combine that together. I'm so busy. Okay, you're busy, but stress is a negative emotion that we incorporate and that we tie in with that busyness. You can be busy fishing. Are you stressed? No, you're just busy. So as we go into the feast, let us really focus on, yes, we will be busy, but that doesn't mean we're stressed because we love our work and we love one another. Praise Yahweh. And just real quick, in closing, I want to go back to the video for a moment and look at it from a House of Yahweh's perspective. It said that one cell springs to life. And I want us to look at that one cell as our great overseer. He sprang to life and started beating. And then what occurred? All the cells around it noticed the beat, felt the beat, and picked up on it. That's each one of us together. Layer after layer, beating together in that perfect unity. And there are approximately 2 billion cells in the human heart. I thought that was amazing. Does that number sound familiar? 2 billion, all beating together in perfect unity with the laws of Yahweh. And Yekeskiel 11:19 says, and I will give them one heart. And I will put a spirit of renewal within you, and I will remove the heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And the word flesh is the Hebrew word 1320 from number 1319, and it means to be cheerful, announce glad news, preach, and publish. So in other words, Yahweh will give us a heart to joyfully do the work. I pray Yahweh blesses all of you, and I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Okay, you joyous beating hearts, you may go ahead and take a seat. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title, my title, is Picking Stickers. Picking Stickers. A while ago, when I was
I say a while ago, actually decades ago, no. When I was 9 years old and I came to the house of Yahweh, I remember being so excited over all House of Yahweh publications, including the VHS called Talent Show and Concert. And my dad had this huge coffee table. I mean, it was long. It was long enough where I could lay on it when I'm not supposed to and watch the VHS House of Yahweh Talent Show Concert Show. And I remember there was a skit that was being played. It was a late night show skit that the House of Yahweh members were doing. And, you know, the host was like, well, to the guests, what were you doing all day? And then the guest says, I've been picking stickers all day. Well, can I see some of those stickers? And the guest said, yeah, they're in my socks. You want me to show you them? And to me, I'm like, I'm 9 years old. And so I'm looking at stickers. I'm like excited. So let me show you over the overhead here what I thought stickers were.
Stickers. Yeah, well done.
I thought those were the stickers that were on the guest's socks. And I said, oh, I would like some of those stickers. And then the host said, oh, what you gonna do with them? I'll probably boil it and make some soup out of it. And I'm like, ugh, paper soup? I'm like, that's gross. So, you know, I have this whole mystery of, well, what? Stickers, sticker soup, ugh. And of course, I come to the feast. And the whole time, I did not know these things were called stickers. Remember, I am bilingual and I'm from the city. We know what sidewalks are and green grass, real green grass. So very shortly, I learned what stickers were. Let me show you this in case those who have not come to the feast. These are stickers. Be kind and be merciful with stickers. Okay? Those are the real stickers. I don't know if you can see it. They're very, very pointy. Very, very pointy. I have sacrificed my life on prep day to pick these stickers off my shoes and stick them on a foam board to show you this evidence of what real stickers are. Stickers. Yes, stickers. So we're picking stickers here on the 44. So my understanding and experience of stickers, they come unexpectedly. You're walking. You're ready to go to work. You want to go see your sisters. And wah! You stepped on a sticker. Sticker got stuck on your modest robe or your modest skirt. And you're just like, oh, how am I going to take this off without having to lift up that skirt? Let me go sit down. Let me go sit down. And there's a lot at one time. You realize it's not just one sticker. It's like the whole clan came with you. So many stickers. And then like prep day, you risk your own flesh trying to pick off these stickers. Because stickers are not at home where you got a tweezer. No, they're right on the road when you're in a hurry and you have no tools. So you got to use your flesh. You brace yourself and you pick them off. And sometimes a piece of that sticker, that one thorn that stuck you in the flesh, decides to stay on while you're trying to walk your way to work. Now, you'll be blessed if you have a very close friend wherever you're heading, and you trust that friend to pick that little thorn off of your flesh. Because if they don't do it right, you know what's going to occur. It's going to go in deeper. And when it goes in deeper, you gotta pull out the real tools. You better make yourself home. Get yourself home quickly. Get the needles, get the tweezers, get the magnifying glasses, and then you're finally set. So it's not easy picking stickers. But like I said, now that many years I've been living and stepping on stickers, I realize that you gotta have the right tools, the needles, the magnifying glasses. And now it's no more screaming, yelling. It's more of like, stay calm. Remember how you were at one time a drama queen. At the age of 9, Mom! Mom is stuck in right here! And it's not just back in my day. I still see children today. And I'm stuck in my show, and I can't take it out. Drama queen. Drama queens. And it's like, oh, we know what it is. She didn't get hurt. She just got pricked. Right? So we remember those type of things. You know, this whole story about the picking stickers, but you're probably wondering, why is she spending 5 minutes talking about picking stickers? Because stickers in our lives are actually our thoughts. Yes, they are. Our thoughts come to us unexpectedly because we go through a lot of situations in one day. That's not just one thought. There's a gazillions of thoughts as you're sitting there, right? Sitting there, and just gazillions of thoughts. And you risk it. You do. You risk your whole mentality, your whole heart, your whole strength. And remember, when you decide to think about a negative thought, you live through it. Even though it never occurred, it's like, oh, I know why. I just know why. And you're negative the whole time. You're living through it. You totally put your whole body in that situation when it never had occurred. But when you go through these things, like with the sticker stuck on you, you want a close friend. And you don't want a friend that says, I know how you feel. You should take that sticker and stick it back in that situation. No, you want a friend that can take out that thorn. You want that friend who you can trust, who knows that, okay, you know, we got to take that negative thought out. You know, let's try doing this. Let's look forward to what is the positivity of this whole situation. What are we learning from this situation? What is it that Yahweh is trying to perfect us into becoming? Those are the type of friends you want to help pull out those stickers. And you must always have your tools ready. And I always say this because, yes, believe it or not, but I have walked around with a lot of sticker thoughts in my brain. And the only way to take it out, and I'm telling you, it's a push. It's a push to just turn on that engine and get yourself seated in class. It is. Because when you're stressed out, you're like, I really don't want to hear something that I'm having a struggle believing in right now. But you know what? Sit down. Sit down and you will be amazed. Because Yahweh knew. Yahweh knew that's what you need. You needed a reminder. You needed a reminder. And I thought it was so amazing. And we say the scripture all the time. And I'm like, oh, it was within all of these verses? But Matithia, we know Matithia 6:33. We know what it is. Seek the kingdom first. But it never hit me until I was looking for the word thoughts and all this stuff in the Strong's. And I don't know why all of a sudden the scripture just showed up in the Strong's, but it was never in the Strong's. And it led me to Matithia 6:25. I look back in the Strong, I'm like, oh, there was the Matithias 6:25. Why am I looking at Matithias 6:25? And I read it. Do you remember what Matithias 6:25 says? It says, do not be anxiously concerned what you would eat, what you would drink, or wear. The birds of the air, did not Yahweh feed them? So Yahweh knows we are worried works. We are. We have gazillions of thoughts always running through our mind. Yahweh knows this. He inspired Yeshua to say, I know the way you are. But look, Matthew 6:33, I want to remind you, while you're going through this craziness of thoughts, seek first the kingdom. Seek first my house. And his righteousness. Remember, we're not just looking for it. We're going to practice this righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Therefore, in verse 34, do not be anxiously worried about what tomorrow may hold. For tomorrow will have worries of its own. Each day has enough of its own trouble. You ever heard of that? Enough is enough. Enough is enough. Don't dwell on the worries because it would turn into a negative deception. You'll start believing in it. You see that? And that's why Yeshua warned us right there. Don't stay in this rut of thoughts. Because this is what Yahweh says in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts
plans that I have for you, says Yahweh, thoughts of peace and not of destruction, to give you the future you hope for. That's Yahweh's thoughts. That's the reflection of what we must have towards each other, towards Yahweh. Thoughts that are peaceful, that doesn't bring forth destruction, and will give us a future we hope for. And I want to also add a side note here. A wonderful, wonderful young woman in the house of Yahweh shared this scripture that was one of her most loved scripture. And I'm like, oh, yeah. I said, that is very key. That is very key to how we must be. So sisters, if you'll all please stand, I'd like to turn it over to our next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom again, great sense of Yahweh. We meet again, please sit. I'd like to entitle my portion this afternoon, Why Must We Love Yahweh With All Our Heart, Soul, and Might? And How? Part 2. Because the second is like it, you must love your neighbor as yourself. And I said we've heard a lot about love, but we have to not forget the second is like it, we must love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, in part 1, we talked about the heart, and I was so glad the great judge reminded us about the heart and what pumps inside. And I said in part 1 that everything we do, say, and think goes through our body with the love that Yahweh allows in there, which is of Yahweh, His laws and His prophets. All the love that's in the heart, everything we do, say, and think will show. It must show, I screamed. The second is like it. You must love your neighbor as yourself. Who is your neighbor? Who was Yahshua's neighbor? Deuteronomy 6:6, it says, and all those laws I give to you must be in your heart. We remember the rich young lawyer came and said to Yahshua, in Matthew 26:40. He said, which are the two most important commandments? And the Yahshua said to him, Deuteronomy 6:5. You know it. And when the man was about to run, as a teacher explained, Yahshua stopped him and told him, love your neighbor as yourself. Let me ask you, do you think Yahweh's laws are beneficial to us? Do you think when Yahweh sat and wrote the things down and he added to it, don't forget, you have to have the statutes, you have to have the judgments, because as the great one sent explained to us, the statutes and the judgments are the how-to. How to do it, how to love your neighbor, how to love Yahweh, how to keep the Sabbath. So all of those things hang on just those two laws. Great Father summarized it for us. All his 613 laws with everything summarized in just those two. So I want to ask you, do you think Yahweh knew that his laws were going to benefit mankind when he did them? Do you think so? Yes. I want to show you something. Could we see this, please? Do you remember this right here? Do you remember when we had it stuck throughout the whole house of Yahweh in the offices over here, over there? Do you remember? Can you read it to me so I can hear it, so it can remind me if you can see it? Read it to me. Yes. 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 Now, do you know when we were saying this and it was written in our heart? We were saying it in the year 2008. The second Roman moon of the year 2008, you were seeing this thing everywhere, and it was on all of our hearts. Do you remember what occurred in that time? If you know, tell your neighbor. Tell your neighbor. Can you trust me? You told your neighbor? You told your neighbor? Nice. Can we show them a picture? Uh-huh. You remember it? Did you get it? Yes. Now, this was the time we were remembering those words laid on our heart, taught well by our great teacher. Taught well. Now, at that time, this occurred. It was a quiet time. You could walk on the road. It was as quiet. You could hear a pin drop. You went to the work areas. You could not hear a pin drop. But let me tell you what you were hearing. You were hearing Yahweh's attributes displayed to each other. Long-suffering, kindness, compassion. The supervisors were nice. They're always nice. You know, sometimes at the cafeteria when I help, I'm sometimes slow on the chicken. But she would come to me and she would say something like, I guess we won't have any chicken today. But no, not this time, in that time frame. No. Even though we were slow, the supers were nice. Tap on the back, great job, great job. In the offices, nice work. Love, kindness, compassion, long-suffering, all Yahweh's nice attributes. But our adrenaline was not working. You know what adrenaline is? Can you show the children the 8:3 for me, please? Children, you remember Psalm 8:3, okay? The great things of Yahweh's hands. Adults, the adrenaline is a push, a hormone, things with which the earth creep, that lets your body move and go and leave. It's called a survival hormone. Some people call it fight and flight. Meaning, something dangerous is going to occur and your adrenaline goes through all the parts of your body. And the heart pumps more blood and says, time to run or time to fight. That same adrenaline is that thing that flows through your body that when you're very excited about something. That's why some people like to get a high, they say, and they go up high on the parachutes and jump down. That's true? Adrenaline. And that's also adrenaline, Yahweh's creation, in the body. Nice. You can also find it when you do Songs of Songs. You know what I'm talking about, adults? Songs of Songs, Songs of Solomon. That's adrenaline works with that as well. But let me have to say everything. Songs of Songs. Oh, dear. The great one said the husband and the wife and love, adrenaline. You see your blood start pumping and all nice things. So our adrenaline was not working when that occurred in the year 2008. We had to force ourselves to get up. Do you remember that? We had to push ourselves. And when the ride come to pick us up, you know, just two horns and just waiting. The adrenaline was not working. A force that makes us move. Can I have an example of a clip, please, that we could see of what adrenaline is?
Besides unlocking our body's resilience, the mind can also unleash superhuman speed. We instinctively call on that power when the brain spots a hazard too deadly to confront. Rather than face it, we push our bodies to the limit to escape. A wildfire blasts through the Southern California hills at terrifying speed. Caught in its path, a policeman accelerates faster than a racehorse. That life-saving burst of power is from inside. Officer Dan Perkins is trying to reach residents trapped by the approaching forest fire. As he gets closer, Dan's body goes on alert. The fire could erupt at any moment.
Folks, get in your cars and follow me out. Quickly, quickly!
They started to go to their cars, and that's when the firestorm came over. It was, you know, 60, 70 feet above me when it blew over. I thought that was it. I thought that I was going to die.
But his heightened state of alert triggers a powerful biochemical reaction. Adrenaline sends his body into overdrive, cutting loose strength he didn't know he had.
Adrenaline is a very neat hormone. You focus. It heightens all senses from your hearing, your smell, your thought processes, so that you can be very focused to get out of a dangerous situation.
Superman, you said, was a real man. Yahweh created it to make us move and want to go. It's like a life force from the adrenaline glands. Now, let me ask you, what did you do for your neighbor during the week? What did you do for yourself during the week that you would have done gladly for your neighbor with all your force and your life? What did you do for yourself this morning that with all your force that comes from in you, you would have done it for your neighbor? What did you do for yourself for the last week that would have gladly done it for your neighbor with everything inside of you? Yeshua said, you must love your neighbor as yourself. You must love your neighbor as yourself. Do you agree, Great House? Do you agree that Yahweh's laws have benefits? Because after that, when we were praying, this time, when we were praying and crying out to Yahweh, not just us here, all our brothers and sisters across the world praying with us. And do you know what they said after everything was done? And the great Kohan said to us, everything is fine. Our great one sent is coming home. Praise Yahweh. Our adrenaline was on a rush. Next morning, we were at the office everywhere. First thing, the earliest ones. I was done my work by 8 o'clock. I could go home. Our adrenaline was working very nice. Love Yahweh your Father with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. On those two laws hang the 613 with everything. On just those two laws hang everything. And that to me is what you call the big word, electromagnetic emotional frequency. Is that correct? Praise Yahweh. And with that, I turn over to the great priest of the house of Yahweh.